It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. If you can't get your knowledge to work in the real world, it's knowledge. And you can walk around a very wise person within, but at one point in our life, our knowledge needs to translate to demonstration. Because demonstration is going to cause every part of you to get excited about what God's doing. And you're not going to be walking around with a shrugged shoulder, but you're going to be walking around. You're going to, like Psalm 20 said, he'll make you to stand upright because you're full of confidence and victory in God. And we've talked about how it starts always with a desire or a request, a desire or a need. You either have a desire, and I like you to start with your desire, okay? Because if you'll start with a desire when you make a petition, all your heart's there. It's real good to start with what's your desire. And we talk about you have to ask. And notice what we had a testimony earlier for benefit of the tape of a man named Mark McConathy, and he had made a $10,000 pledge. And when he made that pledge, the Lord started moving. The first thing he did, he brought in like a little over $180, and he sowed towards that. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought a little over $1,250, and he sowed that. And this is over and above what his normal income would be. And this is the kicker. The Lord blessed him so much, by benefit of the tape. We heard this testimony early in our congregation. The Lord blessed him so much that they're paying him $500 to park his truck in the middle of a recession, $500 a day to have his truck parked because they got something on it that's going to have to be painted, and they can't paint it right now, and they're paying him every day just to have that thing parked. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. And so we're going to let you hear more and more testimonies of what's going on, but the kingdom is advancing. It doesn't matter where you begin. It just matters that you begin. Amen. Wherever your faith is, God will take it and he'll begin advancing your life. So we talk about desire or need and to ask God. In Mark chapter 11, 24, it says that when you pray, believe that you receive when you pray. And so it's a necessity that when we ask God that we receive that request into the kingdom of God within us. That's where you're going to receive it. Then he says you shall have those things that you've asked. The shall have is manifestation phase. The believe you receive when you pray is when God transfers the jurisdiction of what you prayed for into the kingdom of God within you. That's a very crucial step. And that's where you're going to provoke the warfare. As soon as God makes a deposit within your spirit, the enemy's coming. Because God's transferred the answer and he's put it into your domain. You have a domain as a king and a priest of God. God's given every human being a domain to exercise dominion in the earth. You have a sphere of a domain. And God, when you ask, he transfers what you asked for in the spirit first into your spiritual domain. That's why the kingdom of God is within you. And because it's within, the kingdom can hold a whole lot of deposits. So we're learning how to work multiple rivers around here. Multiple deposits. I got six of them inside me right now. Say six. Hallelujah. When those six get answered, I'll have 20 of them going at one time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So then that first phase is you ask. Second, you believe you receive. Faith is the catalyst by which you receive anything from the kingdom. Your faith reaches, you believe you receive it when you pray. It's a necessity. You know when you pray, you should sign it, date it, time it, put your signature, walk around with it, put it in the front lids of your eyes, bind it on your hands, keep it in the midst of your heart. If you'll treat the word of God with that kind of respect, you'll begin to see breakthrough in every area of your life. And so as we teach this, that we receive it into our domain, this third phase is what we're concentrating on. After we receive it in our domain, that's when it provokes the warfare. That's when the enemy comes for the deposit. You better already know that if you're going to walk around in the kingdom and start exercising dominion in the earth, you are going to provoke a war against your life. Get ready for it. So, well, I don't want a war. You're going to get a war whether you do it or not. The difference is you'll just get beat up and take it every day if you're not walking in faith. If you are walking in faith, you can overcome what the enemy's throwing at you. But we're going to have to learn how to overcome and learn that it's just as soon as you ask, probably something's going to happen. I remember when I asked for that $10,000 on that second row on November 3rd at 10 to 1 o'clock. I'm telling you, it wasn't just about a couple hours that our truck blew up. And this is when we didn't have payroll. We didn't have rent paid. It's already the 3rd. No payroll, no rent. From the 15th, we hadn't had payroll paid. From the other 15th. We're in November 3rd, not to mention November 1st payroll. And after that, I drive in to pick up Anna to get the news that our truck had blown up. And a cop pulls me over for expired registration. And I tried to explain to him that I tried to get that fixed 3 times. He goes, sir, that's not my problem. He goes, that's your problem. I said, but look, I had a stack of papers. I said, they can't fix the problem. He goes, well, you need to sell it. He goes, it's not my problem. That's your problem. Man, I'm telling you, my flesh rose up. Felt like my spirit. I saw my flesh. He goes, calm down. My flesh wanted, I went, man, obey the laws of the land. I was upset. But, you know, I was determined. I come out of there. I said, it don't matter, God, because I believe I received when I prayed on November 3rd at 10 to 1 o'clock on November 6th, around 1 or 2 o'clock. Somebody walked through that door right over there with a $10,000 check in their hand. Say $10,000. Was that a chance? No, I know why it came. We were expecting it. Walk right through that door. It wasn't during service. But I asked the Lord, don't bring it during service. And he walked in, and boy, that turned us up a little bit. But I believe, now what I want to talk to you about is the different phases, but more importantly, that phase of keeping. That's the most important phase. Because if you don't get this one down, more answered prayers that God answered that the enemy snatched out of your spirit before the manifestation phase are sitting in the enemy's trophy room. God has answered more of your prayers than you know. Because he transferred it into your domain. Once he transferred it, God gave it to you. But if you don't know how to keep it until manifestation phase, the enemy will snatch that out of you, put it in his trophy room. That's why he said you can't doubt in your heart. You're going to have to learn to master your heart if you're going to walk by faith. Everyone say, master the heart. Do nothing, it will probably get stolen. You've got to learn. That's Texas. You've got to learn. That's Texas Lane. You must learn to keep what God deposits and build a shield around it until manifestation. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about more of that tonight, but even in the process, we teach also to loose from the kingdom of God within us. We loose through faith that manifestation of that into the earth. Then we talk about manifestation phase. Sometime it comes in full harvest. Sometime it comes in partial harvest. We've covered that a lot. But tonight I'm still working on the shield of faith. How to build a protective barrier around your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all. Say all. A-L-L. All. 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 Diligence. He didn't say just guard it with diligence. He didn't say guard it when you feel like it. Guard, you know why he did that? Because he knew. He knows the enemy better than you know him. He's coming. Don't be afraid of him. But you better know how to build a shield around what's in you until you get breakthrough. Once you get breakthrough, you'll find that all he knows really how to do is bark. Man, my dog can bark. Somebody comes to the door. I love that dog. Anna knows I love him. That's my dogs. But I'm telling you right now, when someone knocks on that door, man, that dog can bark. I said, stop it. He doesn't listen. But he won't. He just comes up and just barks at somebody. He's not going to bite him. He just sounds tough. I said, don't worry about him. He's just barking. He's not going to do anything. but he sounds mean. When the enemy barks at you with circumstance, you feel it, you hear it. But he really can't bite into you if you know what you're doing. You got to learn who you are. You have to learn to build that shield. Now, we talked about building that shield through confession last couple of services. I'm going to give you another realm altogether in the next 20, 30 minutes tonight. That's just as powerful as the spoken word. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that indulge into it will eat the fruit thereof. Now, we teach not just to speak the word from an earthly jurisdiction. Father, I thank you. I know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he was made poor, that through his poverty I am made rich. Bless my soul today, Father. I thank you. You supply all of my need according to your riches in glory. Amen. Or we teach how to move into that heavenly jurisdiction. How to get your being in there where you're moving in your dual citizenship. You are not just an earthly citizen, my friend. If you hadn't figured that out, you're not going to have a lot of victory. You are a citizen of heaven, a bona fide son and daughter of the Most High, a king and a priest. You've been enthroned with the Lord Jesus. He shares his throne with you as a joint heir, not as the Son of God, but as a joint heir with him. He shares his authority. You've been raised together, made to sit together, and you got to learn to get in the spirit and administrate the sword of the Lord. Because when you release this, you release that power and it shifts the atmosphere. You must, everyone say must, learn to do that. If you don't, the enemy's coming. What does he come with? Emotions? Circumstances with emotions. Circumstances empowered by emotions. And those circumstances are going to paint a picture. And that picture, they want to get you to respond. And you have to learn to fight that atmosphere. This is how you know you're on the right track. When you learn to shift that atmosphere and rise up above it. Where in the middle of your storm, you are so full of faith, you don't even know what to do with yourself. It's like when that Euroclodon came in Paul, he said, it shall be even as it told me. He said, you should have listened to me. You're going to lose your ship, but we're all going to be saved. It's pretty comforting in the middle of a hurricane. He's telling 300, how many men? 300, I think. All of them were saved in the middle of a hurricane. When a hurricane comes to Houston, we all get in our car and drive out of city. Can you imagine standing there on Galveston Beach and said, none of us are going to die today. But he was confident. He had work. What was working on inside of him, what was out here in the circumstance, couldn't get inside. Now today, tonight, if I can get over there, I'm trying. I'm working my way over there. I'll talk to you about sight. Your eye gate. Not your natural eyes. I'm talking about your spiritual eyesight. This is one of the most important things you're ever going to learn, how to protect your vision, how to protect what you see. When the enemy comes, he wants to redirect what you see because your mind is fed the images of your spiritual eyesight. Your belief system's fed the image of what you believe. It's fed in. See, your spiritual eyesight, what you believe about yourself, is ordering your environment. So you've got to shift what you see. This is why it was so crucial that God told Abraham, if Abraham would have listened to him, he'd have birthed a long time before 100 years old. He told him to look at the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. God, this doesn't arbitrarily give you instructions like that. There was a reason. He had this seed, his imagination. Because Abraham was going to have to do something that no man had done before him. He was going to have to give birth to a son when all his faculties are dead. There's nothing left. When Sarah's faculty, and then God gives a commandment, Abraham, you will birth out of that dead body. How'd you like that responsibility? By the way, the whole human race and salvation is hanging on you giving birth. No pressure or anything. Because if you can't give birth out of death, then I can't. Because it's a necessity you give birth out of death, and then I'll be able to raise my son from the dead. He had a big responsibility. Where was he going to find the evidence that God could do that? And now this is the amazing thing about God. God doesn't talk to him about one son. He did tell him at one point in time, you'll have a son. But most of the time when God approached him, he talked about his seed multiplying as the stars of the heaven, the sand of the seashore. Now, this is the part about God that I didn't understand, because we're just trying to get one breakthrough. Abraham goes, God, if I can just get one son in the earth, you're talking to me about a million. That's why it so seems so far. Why does God take you so far out there sometime? It talks to you about stuff. It's like, oh, my God, give me 1% of that, Lord. I'll take 1% of my vision. He doesn't want 1%. He doesn't even want you thinking in 1%. I said, why do you do that, God? We're holed up in here in a lease space. You're talking about the transference of the wealth of the nations. We don't have our own building. Half of us are in debt. No, 85% of us are in debt. No, 95% of us are in debt. We're going to have the wealth of the nations. Hold up into a... I cried when God told me to come to this building. I said, no, God, no, don't send me over here. He said, no, the interior looks good. I still this day closed my eyes driving in. I said, I don't want to look at this place. He said, you don't care, but, you know, it's part of your image. It's not my personal image. It's part of the image inside. I don't like that. It's not what I see. God said, well, I've been working interior transformation. He goes, I'm not too concerned about the exterior. So I just put you in a building where we're not too concerned about the exterior right now. He goes, I'll give you the exterior when we get ready to do that. I want you to work on the interior. It's real nice on the interior. He goes, just stay in the interior right now, because when you get that one fixed, all that exterior will just change. And so the Lord, he tells Abraham, now this is amazing, go to Romans 4. You must learn to work on your sight, your vision. You must learn to work on your vision. Get your vision focused. Now I'm going to tell you something about God. You are not going to bring forth in the kingdom if you don't have focus. You can't be everything in the kingdom all the time. You can't bring everything simultaneously. When God's, let me say it like this. You can bring everything out once it's deposited. But when God's trying to work something in you, let's say you're very drawn to the prophetic. Very drawn to the prophetic. You will eventually bring forth the prophetic. You'll begin to speak the prophetic word, see the prophetic word. You'll start having encounter because you're drawn into that part of the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? Because you're focused through that. But what happens, especially when we start swimming around in deep waters with God, there's something that goes, oh, we really don't think about bringing forth the financial area. You know why you don't? Because sometimes we consider that carnal. Because we're so deep in the things of God. Oh, that's just carnal, man. I don't want part of that. I want to run with God in the heavenlies. I want to swim with God in the depths of the river. And I want to sink in and, you know, God will take care of me. But you can go year after year, year after year after year like that. And God's just taking care of you. But what happens is when you get all that vision, there's no financial undercurrent carrying it. Because you didn't focus on that part of the kingdom. And sometimes, boy, mark my word, when you start focusing on the financial part of the kingdom of God, the enemy, he'll come. First thing he'll do, he goes, you selfish outfit. He goes, you're just carnal. All you want is a Visa card in the sky. You just want God for that. You don't care about. And see, he's trying to get you off of that. Why? Because he can manipulate you and pull your strings a whole lot better when you don't have anything. He can control you, and you can spend a whole lot of your life with a whole lot of vision, but you can't bring it forth because there's no money. There's no Monet. Because you don't know how to bring forth that part of the kingdom. At the same time, we can be over here. I'll just use prophetic as an example. You can be evangelist or anything. You can pull down heaven, having daily encounters, and be so affluent in that area. But over here, just don't. I know a couple. I love them. They're evangelists, and they have a ministry to the homeless, and I've known them for a while, and they lay their life down for the homeless. Just lay their life down. You won't find a better couple that lay their life down. But there's a lot of, in the past, I don't know now, I haven't spoken with them in a while, but in the past, generally need would accompany their ministry all the time. And you're thinking, man, they're seeking first the kingdom of God. Why is it those things being added to them? They're laying their life down. They do things that we would hardly ever do. They live their life to the, they minister to the basest part of humanity, the people that are on the streets. Why wouldn't God just flood the gates? See, your ministry will not constitute you receiving a financial inheritance. But you did bring forth that part of it. And you're going to have a great reward for it. The reason why is because of the lack of focus on that area. Now, what the Lord's teaching me to teach you, in teaching me, He's saying, look, if you don't get the money thing fixed, it doesn't matter what's working on the inside of you. Haven't you already seen through 12 years of full-time ministry, full of vision, how the enemy will keep checkmating your call? See, you don't think it won't happen to me. Well, I woke up after 12 years and it happened to me. He's been checkmating my call the whole time because I didn't bring forth that part of the kingdom. And I literally had to stop. At one of the greatest spiritual times of my life, I was in the Father's bosom. I was just swimming in the love of God. Didn't ever want to come out. And the Lord said, you're going to have to go and get this. You know what he told me? He said, Mammon has taken over your financial mountain while you're up here with me. I said, oh, no. And he says, he's going to keep doing that until you address him. See, we get to thinking God's going to address it. And I'm telling you what, I had to come out of that realm. I'm going back in there, but after I get my financial mountain established, I had to come out of that realm to deal with the enemy in this area. This is another people are not going to tell you things like this. You can go 20 years and not wake up to a systematic onslaught of the enemy that he tries to mold you and he tries to manage you. But boy, when you start bringing forth in the kingdom, you know how it works, and that oil starts flowing and that provision starts flowing. Oh my God, how it just, it lifts you up and starts making a way for everything on the inside of you. Because now you know how it works. And if you know how it works, it's repeatable. Everyone say repeatable. The one thing you're going to have to do in keeping your heart when you get these deposits, we got to get you in one big breakthrough so you know how it works. Once you know how it works, then you're off and running with the Holy Ghost. You have to learn to get your mouth working daily. That's not going to come natural for most of you. The last thing you want to do in the middle of a circumstance is get your mouth rolling. Because about 5 minutes of doing that, it's like, God, what is the use? Especially if you don't know. But if you'll learn to stay in there and not be moved, it's like, I remember when I first went out to play golf, I would swing that club and swing it. And I mean, I would just chunk the dirt. They call it chili dipping. Because when you hit the dirt, all the dirt comes up. It looks like chili. And your wrists are just sore from chili dipping. Because you think, I'll just swing harder. Oh! It just kept driving into the dirt. And then I found out it's all about finesse. It's not about how hard you swing. The harder you swing, the worse it'll be. It's all about, in fact, when I loosened up, the looser I could get my body, almost to where my arms were just limp, and I swang about 75%. Oh, nothing like that beautiful. That's one of life's greatest treasures right there. No, I'm just kidding. Right down the middle, 280, 290. If you haven't experienced that, you need to You need to check out the glory of God out on the golf course. He's out there, my brothers. Yeah, that's a, well, that was a little evangelistic, but I did hit a 365 yard drive. But it hit the golf cart like twice and three times and it bounced and rolled up onto the green. I'll take it though. But anyway, back. You got to learn to get that mouth rolling. You got to keep speaking until you get fluent with that golf club or fluent with that sword. You'll get fluent to where you'll start shifting that atmosphere. Now, there's another realm, too. And I actually incorporate this in confession and after confession. When I confess the word, I get into a realm where I enclose in because I'm seeing what I'm saying. You got to get your eye gates moving into the kingdom of God, like he told Abraham. In Romans 4, Abraham had the testimony, staggered not at the promise of God, was strong in faith, giving glory to God that what he had promised he was able to perform. And nobody has a problem with Abraham having that kind of faith. When he was about 100 years old, staggered not. So I went back and read when he was 99 years old and I found Abraham falling on the floor when God told him he was going to have a son at 99 years old. He fell on the floor and started laughing at God. Said, can a man born that's 100 years old have a son? Oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. Abraham laughing at God. And then Sarah, she hears it. She falls on the floor and laughs. The patriarchs of faith, 90 years old and 99, laughing. Does that sound like they were strong in faith, considering not their own body now being dead? Nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. They're laughing at God. Said, you got to be kidding me. They're laughing. You can go back and read it in Genesis. I was going to teach it, but I'm all up into this. They're laughing at 99, but he gets the testimony in 1 year. I'm thinking, God, 24 years, you came to him at 75. He hadn't got it right at 99. He's laughing. At least you could be like Mary, be unto me. Even if you're full of unbelief, you can say it. Father, be unto me as you have spoken. Even though I don't believe a word you're saying, be unto me. When God comes to you and tells you a thing, you're thinking, who, me? I don't do that anymore. Even if I don't, I say, no way, God. I'm thinking, okay, whatever you say. Whatever you say, yeah, right, sure, Well, I just say, inside I'm going, yeah, right, yeah, uh-huh. But I'm with my mouth going, be it unto me, Father. According to you spoke in my inside, I'm being like Abraham. I'm laying down on the floor laughing. I said, you've got to be kidding. Have you checked out my circumstance lately? What did Abraham do in 1 year that he didn't do in the other 24? I have time. He employed your imagination is the canvas that God will visit you with your future. God will literally deposit your future on the canvas of your imagination. Your imagination is the only part of you that can visit your future. Say it, your imagination is the only part of you that your body can't go over there. Abraham, your descendants will be as the stars of the heaven. Father, I'm locked down in point A. My body's dead. If I even had the faith, Sarah, you know, then he starts blaming it on the woman. She's no way she's going to do it. Even if I had it, he didn't have the faith for himself. He had to have faith for her too. How do I get where you said I'm going to be? Where I cannot find evidence of what you've spoken to me. Listen to me. Very important. You cannot find evidence of what God has told you in the temporary now circumstance. When you believe that you receive inside here, your circumstance will pretty much guarantee you that what you receive will be 100% opposite out here. You understand what I'm saying? If you do not train yourself to find evidence somewhere other, if you're a person that is given to what you see, feel, and hear, well, the enemy's going to bring the evidence and we'll succumb to it. We have to learn to turn inward what God said, and we have to learn. If you're going to be strong in faith, my friend, you've got to learn to adjust your sight inside. You've got to learn to build another image of what God has said. You're not going to get it out here. In other words, I'm at point A. For benefit of tape, I'm on the far left side of the congregation. This is where God speaks to me. Abraham, thy descendants will be as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. And I'm looking at point A all around me. I can't find anything that resembles what God has said. In fact, when I start looking at my body, which I'm wearing, it tells me and prophesies to me. You want to be a prophet? Prophesies to me. Day and night, you will not have a son. You can't. You're dead. Hello, Abraham. This is your body talking. We don't give birth at the age of 99. Where are you going to get evidence? I'm on the far left side of the congregation. But God takes you over here. I'm walking to the far right side of the congregation. This is like as far as the east is from the west. I'm actually traveling west to east. God's way, way over here saying what? Your descendants will be as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. This is where evidence is, right over here. It's not over there in your present. You've got to learn how to get out of your present and live over here. That's what faith requires. It requires you live in your future before you get it. Say it again. Faith requires you to live in your future before you get it. Or see your future before it happens. The enemy wants to take your future and bind you to the now and tell you why it won't happen. He'll play the images. That part of you, the imagination, especially, that gives way to the spiritual eyesight that literally rewrites the canvas of your belief system. That part of you can go over there. When I'm in confession, I don't see the way things are now. I'm looking to my future and I'm honing and I'm focusing on what God has said. I don't look to the now. I wouldn't need faith. I'm looking for that next place and I see it and I'm focusing. And when you learn to focus, God starts rewriting and what's inside of you starts filling up with what God has said. You start getting fed evidence from another place. Literally, what's happening is your belief system's coming up out of the now and it's going into the future. It's a necessity you live there. Now, what I do that'll help you, I do this after I pray, and I don't have to do it very long, 10, 15 minutes. You can do this at night when you're sitting in there. Turn the TV off. Everyone say, turn the TV off. I have the petition written down, and I always put a picture of my petitions that remind me of what God said, because I'm honing in on why I need to focus what God has said, because that's where my evidence is. This is how you build a shield around what God said. And when I lay there, I put it in my heart, and I close my eyes, and I dream. I dare to dream the dream, and I literally come out of where I am. You know what I dream about? What would it be like, Stuart, hundreds of millions of dollars for the kingdom? What would that realm look like? What would it feel like? What it would taste like? And I go in your imagination. It's just amazing what your imagination can do. And it goes into that realm and literally transports your being over there and you start living there. Now, that may not be your call if that's not what you want to do, but that is my call. It's a portion of it. And I start living there. And the more I do it, the sharper that image gets. And what I found, the more I do that, I hold these things in my heart. I hold them. I see it. I see the checks being written. I see the missionary lives being changed. I see the joy over whole cities. And when I see that, what's happening is God's rewriting my belief system. And instead of, oh, I wonder if God would ever do that, I'm starting to live there. And I'm like, oh, my God, I know he's going to do it. This is who I am. And what I found when I come out of that, I found that image starts following me around. What that 15 minutes that I did, I found when I wake up in the morning, I walk around, or I'm in the car, I'm back in that image. I be driving, but I'm in that image because I focused into what God has said. This is why Abraham said, look at the stars, Abraham. Look at the sand of the seashore. Look at the stars. In that last year, in that 99th year, Abraham began to focus in. And he began to see his descendants. And what he couldn't do in 24 years, the Lord rewrote his belief system on the canvas of his imagination. And when he did, his faith crossed the line, and he staggered not at the promise of God. He forgot he was wearing a dead body because he was looking at his descendants so long, he forgot about it. And he became strong in faith, full of glory, and said, I know my God is able. I can do it. And what I found so strong when I come out of that 15-minute session, and the next day I'm driving my car, and I'm back in that place. I'm driving, all my environment's there, but I'm in that realm I was in because my imagination fixed me into a part of my future. And it was amazing how fast I could visit my future. And I started seeing that. I said, this is who I am. And my being starts agreeing with what God has said. Well, how do you get that to payday? How do you get that in the natural then? Here's the thing about God you don't understand in the dominion mechanism. And I'm closing. What does that mean? Well, we'll close sometime. Now, get this. If you'll do this, if you'll practice this with your petition and practice for about 15 minutes and focus, don't let your mind, but focus in on a part of your future, I guarantee the next day that'll be in you. And you'll learn to live there. What you're doing is learning to live with the great men and women of God of all history have learned to live. They learned to live in a realm that was not in the temporary. You can't birth in the temporary. And when you learned to live there, you found the faith and the evidence started coming up. And God started filling you with the evidence of who you are. And your belief system starts agreeing with it. When this happens, something happens. Let me tell you how this works. As a man thinketh in the domain of his heart, so is he. That word thinketh acts as a gatekeeper. As a man acts as a gatekeeper in the domain of his heart, so is he. Because your heart is the gateway for which the kingdom of God flows into the earth. He's got to flow through the catalyst from the kingdom within you through the heart. The heart's the catalyst. And if your belief system's blocking the plan of God, it has to back up. It can't get through. God cannot violate the belief system of a man. So when you start rewriting the belief system, here's what happens. It's called the dominion mechanism. When you're, get this, don't check out on me, say I'm with you. When you're in that realm, and when I hold that to my heart and I start dreaming, the anointing of God shows up. And I start feeling that I see my future. I see it. I see all that realm. And I start living it. I feel the joy of it. It gets so sharp. Sometimes I'll find myself dozing over there. I can't differentiate between that and the natural. That one gets so strong that I find myself, I have to come out and say, oh, I'm back over here. Because I'm honing in and I've tapped into something and I'm learning to live over there. Now, here's what happens. Get this. If you didn't get anything else I said, get this. Once those adjustments start getting made in your imagination, in the canvas of your belief system starts getting rewritten by the word of the Lord and your imagination moving in the word of God, once that happens, something gets released. So how does he do it? I don't have any gifts. I don't have any talents. See, that's the part with God that doesn't matter. Because God working through your belief system will order a favor in your life. It'll order a blessing in your life. It'll order something to come up. All of a sudden, God, it'll order an anointing that stirs a part of you you didn't even know was there. Or God will order and open a door of favor. And you have no earthly business running around with people like this. None wants. And all of a sudden, you find yourself smack dab in the middle of a global finance system and people that are pulling the strings, and you're going, how am I here? What am I doing here? And you think, well, what are you doing there? And then one of the guys says, you know what I really need? He goes, this guy told me this. He said, look, I can do the negotiations. I can talk to these people all day long. You know what I really need? I need somebody who can be an intercessor for me. And I want to make a partner. What he said? He goes, but really, I just need somebody that will pray and come alongside me in partnership. I'm like, are you kidding me? That is my specialty. That's what I do. That's who I am. He goes, I said, I don't like talking to him. He goes, I talk to him. I do all that stuff. He goes, but I need somebody I can hear and sit down and move mountains and hold my arms up. And he goes, and I understand the value of spiritual partnership. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. What am I doing? How did that happen? The dominion mechanism through the words and what I was seeing started ordering it. When that started getting ordered, I said, oh my God. The dominion mechanism can order a witty invention right up out of you. The dominion mechanism can put you somewhere that'll cause a blessing, that'll blow you out. They can park your truck and give you $500 a day for parking your truck. Pretty soon there'll be people driving on his behalf. That dominion mechanism will start working that where 10 trucks are working for his spirit 24 hours a day. He won't even have to get in a truck anymore. They'll be driving them for him. The dominion mechanism starts setting things in motion. What do you do? I live there. Do I work? Yeah. Once you come out of that, you feel that atmosphere in here? When you feel that, you come up out of there and you walk out into the earth system, you got another government on you. And that government's starting to order favor on your behalf. And you walk out there and said, oh my God, what's happening? The door opens like, I didn't do that. And God blesses you with what you couldn't do in a whole year. He delivers it to you in a day. God, what in the world? The dominion mechanism was released. God will use something. He's going to use a field. You're not going to have a mailbox mentality where, well, it's going to be in the mailbox. It's not going to work like that. God's going to use a field, but the dominion mechanism will give you a field that will blow your mind away. Sometimes you don't even know what you're capable of because the dominion mechanism has not been released yet. Some of you wives, God will turn up their husband. The business, their husband's business will go through the roof, and they're in there knowing exactly why it's happening. Honey, you just going out there to work today. God's with you. And they'll say, I can't believe what happened to me today. Look at all this business. I don't know what to do with it. You're a real estate agent. You're in sales. And all of a sudden you see that $1 million. What's it like to just sell $1 million houses all day long? What's it like to be inside somebody, to a person who lists $1 million houses all day long? That's normal for them. Why? Their belief systems ordered that. They don't list $25,000 houses. They list $1 million houses, what their belief system ordered the level. The number one salesman, the reason why the number one, I'm going to close with this. Did I start closing yet? Okay, I'm going to close with this. Okay, listen to this, very important. When I came out of the world to know the Lord, I love to pray, but God said, you're going to have to get a job. And I remember this man, he owned like 15 Pizza Huts. And he was over at the house one day, and I'm looking through the newspaper. You ever had that? Going to look for the job in the newspaper? Back then, I had no qualification. I didn't finish my degree. Where did my belief system land me in the newspaper? $5 an hour. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's just where I was. Now, this guy, he'd owned 15 Pizza Huts. Stay with me, because I'm going to tell you something very important here. He walked over to me and said, do you know why you're not in the $50,000 a year section? I'm thinking, 50,000? I mean, I know God. I mean, I'm the one's like telling you how great God is, but 50,000, I wouldn't even turn in that section. That's for the people who make 50,000. Yeah, you know, back then that was the world, you know. He said, you know why you don't look in that? Because he noticed I wouldn't even look in that section. He goes, you don't believe you're worth it. I said, what? Kerry Lucas told me that. Changed my life. He said, you don't believe you're worth it. He goes, until you change that inside you, you'll never look in that section. Well, you know what? A couple years by and I still wasn't looking in that section until I got fed up with being fed up. And I launched a campaign. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I began to speak the word. Didn't even know anything about what I'm talking to you about right now. I began to speak the word. And I put them in scripture notebook cards. And I'd flip them over and over. Boy, there's such an anointing in here right now. And I'd flip them over and over and over again. I had to believe God for 2 weeks to get the $5 bill. Just to buy the scripture notebook card. With a spiral binder on it from Walmart. I spied out the land. It took me 2 weeks to get $5. I was big time faith. That's big time. I bought a pack of three of them. I sat there and I wrote out all those scriptures on prosperity, the ones in Framing Your World that we just give you. And I just flip them all day, just flip them. And I did that all day long. I didn't know, just something told me I just need to speak the word. Little did I know that my words were speaking and changing an image within me. And it took a while. Why it takes so long? Because I had a really bad image. God had to rewrite the image, and he was just doing through my words. Had I known how to focus my imagination into that, oh my God, right there. And I spoke, and I stayed with it, and I stayed with it, and I stayed with it, and I stayed with it. And that day came. And I remember working at a car wash. You know, the guys that, you know, when you come through the car wash, they take your order, you know. And don't feel sorry for those guys. A lot of those make a lot of money. I was making at one time $2,000 a week doing that. That wasn't too bad. A week. And I remember when I talked to the guy, I told him, I said, look, I need, this is where my belief system was when I applied for the job. I said, I need at least $500 a week. That's what he told him. The manager said, impossible. He said, the most you're going to make here is 400. Maybe on Christmas week you'll make 500, but my best salesman never make more than 400. He told me that day that I hired, he thought I was the proudest guy, the most arrogant guy coming there thinking I was going to make $500 a week. And the Lord said, take this job. I said, God, I can't. He said, take it. And I took that job, and for 3 months, that's what I made, $350 a week. But I was doing the scripture flip. And that day came, I remember, it was that rain. Y'all heard me talk about that rainy day. It was a day before Christmas. And I told my buddy, I said, look, I don't have any money. But so all my money was going towards something else. And I raked 55 bags of leaves that day in the rain. He said, if you'll rake my yard, I'll give you some money. Like, I bet you would. Bless you, my brother. 55 bags. But I remember I threw those things on the ground. I said, this thing will change. I said, this word is true, and everything else I see is a lie. I remember that day, I actually went to Dusty Kemp's church on a Wednesday night, an evangelist friend of mine. We drove out of that church, and the anointing of God hit that truck. When he hit it, he pulled over, and this white glory filled the truck. I mean, you couldn't see through it. It was so thick in there. And there was so much victory. The electricity of heaven filled that thing. We fell in intercession for over an hour. When I come up out of that intercession, something was on me. Same job. Same job. But God broke. The word of God broke through the structural belief system. And it tore down that image that was blocking the blessing of God. When it tore that image down, God was ready. That was a Wednesday night. I walk back into work on Thursday. God downloads an idea to me, gives me a download. The next Monday, I started. This is the job where he told me you'll never make over $500 a week. Nobody's ever done it. That next Friday, I made $1,200 the first week. $1,200. Nobody had ever done anything like that. The next week, $1,500. The next week, $1,700. The sales went through the roof. They went so strong that the owner had to call me into his office. He changed my wages 10 times. He pulled me in his office. He was a layman. He pulled me. He goes, I have a big problem with you. He said, you get paid too much. I said, I am 100% commission. He goes, it doesn't matter. I determine what you're worth. That's what he said. And he said, the problem with you is that I think that my salesman shouldn't make more than $35,000 a year, and I'm paying you upwards of $70,000 to $80,000 a year. And if I cut down your commission, I cut theirs down, and they won't stay. I said, but I'm commission. I make money. You make money. We're in this together. He goes, I don't see it like that. He goes, therefore, you're fired. He fired me. I walked right over that car wash right there, right after that, because that was downtown. I walked to this car wash right over here, across the street over here, and I walked up to the manager. I said, how much the detail service, you know, when they wax your truck? I said, what's your best month you've ever had? He didn't even know me. I saw him. I said, what's your best month? He said, $20,000. I said, if you'll hire me, I will guarantee you your first month will be at least $25,000. Your second month will be $55,000. Your third month will be $80,000. And your fourth month will be hitting over $100,000 a month if you hire me. He goes, are you crazy? And he hired me. $25,000 the first month. $33,000 the second month, $65,000 the third month. We were hitting $85,000 a month, four times, because I carried that anointing into that place. It was in me, and I already knew I could shift everything they were doing because I had it in me, and I knew that I could shift it. The confidence was there. That came into ministry. I carried that in the ministry and did some pretty remarkable things in the first 3 years, and then I lost it. We're cranking it all back up right now. So how'd you lose it? You get lazy. God makes it so easy for you. You get lazy. The enemy will just take over your mountain. You won't even know it. Don't underestimate him. We did that. Oh, my God. When you get the kingdom working in you, and you start getting full of the kingdom, I'm closing. When the kingdom, I mean, you walk around and you're made to move mountains around you. You're made to shift circumstances. You're made to shift what is to what is not. You're called to bring what is not into what is. And you know you can do it. And the confidence will just grow. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah.